Seeing People Through Jesus' Eyes, Commentary for the July 18, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isaiah 42, verse 8. Approximately 2.5 millennia ago, according to the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the kingdom of Babylon, the king had a dream about successive earthly kingdoms that would follow his. This was represented by a statue constructed of gold at the head and then metals of lesser value as one progressed to the feet. Each metal represented a different kingdom that would arise. Unwilling to allow that his kingdom might come to an end, the king ordered the construction of a huge image made entirely of gold, and wishing his subjects to accept that view of his kingdom's longevity, he ordered them to all bow down to the image, to model that agreement. While all the world seemed captivated by the king's vision and bowed in obeisance, three singular souls refused to show that honor to anyone but God. These three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were then cast into a fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3 tells us that they were delivered from immolation through divine intervention. When visiting family many years ago, I had the opportunity to share this story over a backyard campfire with the children gathered around the fire pit. Since all had been raised in the church, and the fire was a perfect visual aid for the story, it seemed a natural story time. When the story ended, a young boy turned to his father and asked, "Is that true?" His father only sat there in silence, apparently unwilling to say. For some in the church, these stories have become mere fairy tales, entertaining, but not to be taken seriously. But whether we take the story literally or not, it is nonetheless a metaphor for much of what we are experiencing in our day. The wealthy and powerful would have everyone accept their vision of the future. We see this especially at election time. A candidate will represent each major party, and since we are all sinners, every candidate will naturally have flaws. Some of those flaws may even be major moral failings. But not to fear, for the rich in large sums and the not-so-affluent in many smaller sums, will create a river of gold flowing into campaign coffers to cover those flaws and create an image of solid gold for the party faithful. They create this false image in the hopes that their image will be more attractive than the opposition's and draw more worshipers to kneel at its base, thus ensuring the outcome and the continued ruling power of the wealthy elite that made the image possible. But for all its luster, gold is highly malleable, and without a much more substantial frame to support it, it can easily collapse. Since so much more went into the gold for the image than ever went into its substance, this too often happens, and what may have begun as a moment of glory when the candidate is elected fades into ignominy by the end of their reign. We are a fickle people, easily caught up in the sophistry of such images. We divide up into parties to glorify one image and attack another. If someone attempts honesty in pointing out that our image really has feet of clay, we immediately excoriate them and assign them to the hellfire that the opposing party is no doubt destined for. No challenge to the glittering, shining image is allowed. We choose to forget that a frail, flawed human being lies at the heart of our construct. Perhaps this is because we see in this process a possible route for our own path to power and control. But the Bible says that the piper always must be paid. Daniel tells us that Nebuchadnezzar lost his sanity for failing to recognize his flawed humanity, and eventually the kingdom he was so proud of crumbled, and the seat of his throne is little more than an archaeological dig today. For all his wealth and power, he could not prevent the end of the Babylonian kingdom. Many have tried to do the same. The Persians who supplanted Babylon were themselves replaced by Greece under Alexander. The Greeks, in turn, were conquered by Rome. Rome fell to the various Goth tribes in the west, and in Byzantium to the east, the empire fell to the Ottomans. So many have come and gone, each trying to build their own indestructible golden image, only to meet with failure and collapse. All seem to have ignored that Daniel revealed the only kingdom that will endure is the kingdom of God. That kingdom would fill the earth. We see today that despite the rise and fall of many man-made empires, God's kingdom has continued to expand and has become the religion claimed, however feebly, by a majority of the world's inhabitants over any other single religion. But still, we continue to build the idols, cover them with gold, and bow down to them, excoriating all who do not. In the days of the ancient prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, as well as many others, these faithful individuals were continually pointing out the flaws in the images that people were constructing. In return for their faithful witness, they were imprisoned or executed. Isaiah, whom I have quoted at the beginning of this commentary, was sawn in two for his testimony. Today, many Christians feel that if they were there hearing Isaiah or Jeremiah, they would have honored them. But they continue to insult and demonize those who would speak out against their flawed images. In so doing, they betray their worship of the same path to power our fallen ancestors worshiped before us. When we do this as Christians, we testify that God is such a one as ourselves. We even go so far as to commit the blasphemy of indicating that God endorses the very leader we are covering with our guilt layers of euphonious praise and acclamation, as though he also cannot see beyond those layers of gold to the heart. Perhaps we do this because we cannot force God's compliance, as we try to do with his followers, so we simply assume his endorsement of our self-serving charade. Our next step takes us beyond the pale, though. We postulate that God is unwilling that anyone should be lost. Therefore, even in our perfidy, we may presume he will not relinquish us to folly. But we forget that the lesson of Noah and the flood reveals such is not the case. Whether we take the flood account literally or as metaphor, the lesson is clear. God is, at some point, willing to cast off those who have already cast him off. Some might feel this is tyrannical or unjust of him. However, this is the ultimate in mercy. He sees how the wealthy and powerful prey upon the weak for the sake of their own gain, and mercy demands their deliverance. When Jesus walked the earth with humanity, he saw firsthand all the suffering and repeatedly intervened to alleviate it. His message was clear. God sees and abhors the suffering we bring upon one another. And those with the most power, the most wealth that would enable them to relieve that suffering, instead use it only to add more power and wealth for themselves. For this, they are the most in danger of being outside that final metaphorical arc. It does not matter whether they rule over political parties, secular governments, or even churches, temples, or mosques. The time will come when the suffering they inflict on others becomes as intolerable for God as it was in the days of Noah. Some may feel that having their name on the books of their favorite denomination will save them. After all, didn't Jesus say that baptism will save us? Unfortunately, for those who are presuming on that belief, he never said that. Instead, he said, we must be reborn. Peter referred to this as repentance regarding our previous direction in life. If we wish to be saved, we must cease constructing, gilding, and worshiping our own greed and lust for power. Taking those things into the church will not somehow gloss over our desires so that we can be saved. It only is making the same false golden image to our salvation that we have made to everything else, albeit with a religious mantle. We may succeed to get others to bow to the constructed image being used to enhance our own power, but God will never do so. nor will those whose hearts are his. It is not hard to discover who is God's and who are only serving themselves, even at a church potluck. Who sits at the table with the movers and shakers in the local church? And who sits at the table of the poor who can do nothing to enhance her influence with the congregation? If we see things through the eyes of Christ, we will see that how we treat the least is how we would also treat him. To God, all of us are like those at the table of the poorest of the poor. How patient of him to sit at that table for so long, waiting for the rest to join him. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You may be able to see the scripture references, footnotes, at our website for this commentary. You will also be able to select the text of the commentary and by right-clicking with your mouse, have the option to print it out at your location. This is at www.visitstillwaters.com.